Right, I've been asked this morning to speak on that, knowing Jesus. And as I was thinking about it, there's so many different ways we could go with this and so many things that I could say. I'm going to take a particular tack on this. I'm not saying this is the only way we could address this, but I just want to stimulate your thinking a little bit. As I was thinking about this, and when I used to think of the titles of what we spoke on, I used to know what I was going to say. That's why I thought of the titles. But Graham's thought this one up, and so I had to think, now, what am I going to say? How am I going to get my head around this? And what am I going to say? So I was walking with the dog, and I really felt my head just fill with this statement of what I really believe sort of summarizes where I think we want to go. And I actually recorded it into my phone so I wouldn't forget it. Isn't that sad? And got home and wrote it down again, because by the time I'd have got home with my memory, I'd have forgotten what I thought. And this is the thing. And I believe this is a very sad reflection on where we're at. Listen to this. I believe there's a growing trend in our churches today for people to fall in love with good worship songs, good sermons, good services, even celebrity preachers, maybe not so much in the UK, but certainly across the world, good family groups, and even good social action projects, but have totally missed the point of falling in love with the person of Jesus. Let me say that again. I believe there's a growing trend in our churches today for people to fall in love with good worship songs, good sermons, good services, good family groups, good celebrity preachers, and even social action projects, but they've totally missed the point of falling in love with the person of Jesus. Now, I'm not an expert on this. I'm not saying I know Jesus better than all you guys and I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm just going to drop a few hints and a few things for you to think about. Carl spoke last week. I've heard what he said, and he spoke really well. I know Carl well, and I've heard him talk about this stuff before. Living as Jesus in the community. He talked about the work in the harbour and the work he was doing there of actually living out being Jesus in the harbour. And I just want to start off asking us this morning, are we as people really want to know Jesus? Do we really, really want to know Jesus? Let's get this clicker thing and see if it works. Doesn't usually, but we'll have a go. Oh, brilliant. I want to ask us those four questions, just explain that. Do you know, I can know about somebody. I can know where they live. I can know the colour of their hair. I can know the car they drive. I can know something about their family. I can maybe know where they work or the sort of work they do. And I can know an awful lot of facts about them. I can know about somebody. Take it a bit closer. I can know a lot about someone. I might actually see this person occasionally. I might go to their house. I might have actually been in their car. And I might have met their family rather than just know about the family. And actually, yeah, I know quite a lot of details about them. The third one. Well, I really enjoy being around this person. They're good fun. I class them as my friend, but if you push me, I'm not sure that they would say that they were my friend. I can talk about them. I can tell you lots of things about them. And I can actually talk about that for quite a long time. Or the third one, this person is my best friend. I love them to bits. I know exactly what they're thinking. I know how they react to situations. I just love being with them. We talk every day. I can't wait to be in their company. Facts aren't important. facts about them just aren't important, but I get to know them so easily as we hang out together. I don't think I could live without them. I really know them. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference as we go through it? Maybe you've got somebody that you think you know. Wonder where they'd fit on that. I wonder if they could say whether they really is your best friend or whether you just know some facts about them or you sort of hang out occasionally with them. Let's sort of focus that in on church. You know where we're going on this, don't you? The top one, I can know about someone. Do you know, sometimes we know about Jesus. We read the stories. We can recount the information. And we could probably quote chunks of the Bible. We know lots of facts about Jesus. If there was a quiz about Jesus, we'd be top of the list because we know about him. Can know a lot about someone. Sometimes we know a lot about Jesus because we're around church and meetings and conferences and we go to all the prayer meetings and all the family groups and that sort of thing. So we know a lot about this Jesus. About the third one. Do you know, sometimes we like a good knees up with Jesus, actually. We like a good sing-along. We love a good sermon. We possibly like a good discussion. And we actually speak as if, well, we speak about as if we really know him. And the third one is this. Jesus is my best friend. I want to be like him. I want to think like him. I want to react to situations like him. I want to love like him. In fact, the more I spend in his company, the more people say, actually, I'm like him. I really do know him. Where do you think you fit into that this morning? Seriously, don't have to tell anybody. Where do you think you fit into that? Those four different categories. See, I wonder sometimes if we just stripped everything away from the services. We got rid of the music, we got rid of the musicians, we got rid of the coffee, we got rid of the preacher. Just left us. Where would we be? What would we do? How would we cope? Matt Redman wrote a song about it. I'm not going to sing it, but that's the words of the song. And he says this. He was in a place, just let put this in context. Matt Redman was in a bad place, a dark place, a difficult place. And he found that standing out the front with his guitar, leading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of people to sing the latest song, just felt cold and empty to him. And he needs to go back to basics and say, do I really know this Jesus that we're trying to sing about? Or are we just going through the motions every time we get the guitar and the overhead projector going and the music blasting out? And he wrote this. He says, when the music fades, all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself isn't what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I wonder how we would cope. Well, I know how some of you would cope because I've seen it happen when we try to do things different. You come in and it's not familiar. You haven't got the scaffolding that holds up what we do. The scaffolding's gone. Where do we go? What do we do? How does our relationship with Jesus stand up? If you've got a Bible, you can find Philippians for me. I'm going to read it from the Message version, but you can read it and follow it in the NIV, sort of. You won't be able to follow it that well, so if you don't want to find it, don't bother. But it's Philippians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament, towards the back. It's tucked away. It's Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So if you find Corinthians, it's nearer the back than that. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. This is a letter that was written by Paul to a church in Philippi in Greece. And it's a real church. There were real people. It was a real situation. And he writes this letter about 60 years after the death of Jesus. And in that time, the church has built up the frills around the edge of it. A lot of law, a lot of rules, lots of ways to do things, you know, the stuff which trips so many people up. And Paul writes this to the church. He says this. I'm going to read it from the Message version, which is slightly different, well, a lot different to what you will read, but see if you can follow it. And that's about it, friends. Be glad in God. I don't mind repeating what I've written in earlier letters. I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry. So here goes. Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark, bark, and no bite. All they're interested in is appearances, knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers, that was, just put that in context, because that sounds a bit gruesome, doesn't it? The context was, that's what had to happen to little boys in the Jewish culture. And if you weren't circumcised, the little boy, well, you were almost rejected. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praises as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. Even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. And he goes on to say about himself, you know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting Christians, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing them up. I'm throwing them out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. Why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant or dog dung. That's a bit firm, isn't it? I've lumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I don't want some pretty inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ. God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get it on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I've got this all together, that I've made it, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. So let's get focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you has something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross, but Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praises. All they can think of is their appetite. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Saviour, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be, under and around him. It's different to what you've, different wording, but the same, exactly the same sentiment of what you've got in the NI version, which is you've been looking at there. But the message is simple. The message is quite clear. If we want to know Jesus, if we want to know Jesus, like that bottom line, really know about him, know what makes him tick, know how we live that, know how we exude that in every situation, trying religious experiences, following rules, or anything else that somebody can dream up for us will not help us in any way, shape or form. What we need to do is find out really for ourselves who Jesus is. How did he react to situations? How did he forgive people? How did he love people? How did he include people? How did he reach out to people? How was he prepared to give his life for people? Where do we find that out? We find that by reading the gospel stories. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the accounts of Jesus' life. What Jesus did, how he reacted, how he dealt with things, how he worked together with a team of people, how he did what he did. And further on in the Bible, it says if we want the life of Jesus to live out with us, that's demonstrated. The fruit of the Spirit is a demonstration of our lives being like Jesus. So if we want to be people that are like Jesus, we've got to know who this Jesus is, and we've got to try and copy him. We've got to live like him. We've got to say, I want your reactions to be my reactions, Jesus. I want your values to be my values. And if that's different to what the church is doing or what something else is saying, well, no, that's actually what I want to do. I want to follow you, Jesus, not what the church is doing or what the church is saying. Sometimes there is conflict, isn't there, in what's being said and what we believe, we really believe we need to be doing. And then when we find out what Jesus is about, and we read it and we take it and we say, yeah, that's how he dealt with those situations, we need to live it. We need to put it into practice. You see, if it's just in our heads, it stays in our heads, it goes no further than our heads, it doesn't influence. We don't know Jesus, we know about Jesus. So we need to live it every day. How do we demonstrate love? Jesus shows us how to demonstrate love. Let's see how Jesus did it and copy and demonstrate it that way. How do we demonstrate forgiveness? That's one of the hardest things to do when somebody's offended us or hurt us or cut across us, to actually forgive. How did Jesus do it? That's how we should do it. What about gentleness? What about kindness? All those qualities that Jesus shows as we read through the gospel stories, that's what we need to live every day. What we tend to do as people, we tend to come to church, we sing the songs, we go through the motions, we go out into the street and we forget about it and we act completely different. And when somebody cuts across us or something serious happens, we forget it and we go a different way, because we don't know Jesus in that deep way. We just know about him and we haven't made that part of who we are. One way we can do this is to start each day and to say, Jesus, I want you to live out through me today. I want the way I react to that person. I want the way that I think of that person, the way I deal with that situation, the way I forgive that person, the way I just generally behave today. I want it to be with your mind. I want you to live out through me. Now, Jesus himself won't do that. The Holy Spirit will live out through us. That's the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit lives through us and enables us to live the way Jesus lived, if that's what we want to do. And you know, for a lot of the church, and I was brought up with a church that preached this very clearly, that the reason that we wanted to know Jesus was it because it was a ticket to heaven. And if we knew Jesus, we were okay. We were signed up. There was a tick in our box. We were going to heaven. Stuff what was going on earth, we were on our way. And when I read the Bible, that isn't what the Bible says at all. The Bible says that we're actually here for a reason, and we're here to make a difference today. Yes, we may go to heaven. We will be part of this heaven thing. But I'm not sure heaven, well, I know for a fact, heaven isn't on that cloud up there, and we're not going to have halos and sit on somewhere. I believe heaven's going to be back on earth here, and this earth is going to be transformed, and it's going to be amazing. And God says to us today, we've got to make a difference in the place that we are today. We've got to make a difference where we are today. We've got to see God's kingdom come today. That's the call of the whole of the Bible is about seeing God's kingdom coming today. From the start to the end, that's the message, that's the theme. God's rule, the way God wants things to happen. Do you know that's why this is important? That's why this is so important. That's why being involved in that sort of thing is so important. Because we can stand and we say, no, that isn't how we want this to happen. We want to see justice for these people. We want to see fairness for these people. We want to see it done the way that Jesus would do it. We don't use those words, we use different words, but that's our heart as to what we want to happen. When you're at school, when you're in the office, when you're doing all this stuff, how do we react to situations that come across our path? How do we see fairness for that person? How do we see that person that's outcast and on the edge included? How do we see that bunch of people that just stand to the side because they feel that the church and God has just completely forgotten them? How do we include and welcome them? That's what Jesus calls us to do. And we can only do that when we know who Jesus is. The prayer that Jesus shares with his disciples, what we call the Lord's Prayer, is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not, please God, take us away from this mess and we'll all be okay when we start singing on the cloud. I don't find those words in the Bible. It's your kingdom come, God, your will be done on earth. On earth. And that's the call that we have upon us. And we cannot do that. We cannot fulfill that if all our efforts are into listening to the good sermons, coming to the services, and all of that is good, and it's good stuff that supports and helps. But the heart of it is we've got to know who this Jesus is. And if we don't know who this Jesus is for ourselves, and we've gone beyond the tick of salvation, we've got to be doing that. Knowing Jesus is about God's kingdom come into our situation. And each of our situations is different. Think about where you work, where you live, the situations that you're involved in. How would it make a difference if you dealt each day the way God would forgive? How would it make a difference in your workplace or your home if you forgave the way God forgives? If we saw God's transforming power in our offices, in our factories, in our schools, in our health service, if we saw God's justice, I'll say this because I say it quite often and it's important. We've got an election coming next year and we're all going to, this year, isn't it? Oh, sorry, I said, yeah, this year. We've got an election coming this year, 2015. You're all got an opportunity to put a tick in a box and vote somebody in as the ruling party. When somebody knocks on your door, what's the question you're going to ask them? You're going to ask them about justice and fairness? Or are you going to say, well, what's in it for me? Come on, Mr. whatever your name is. I want a big tax cut so that I've got more money to enjoy myself. What's the questions you're going to ask? Because what you should be asking and what you should be looking at is, what would Jesus be wanting for our politicians? What would his way of doing it be? Do you know, for, this is aside, but do you know, talk from food bank point of view, the more people that come to see us at the moment used to be because their benefits were screwed up. More people come to see us at food bank now because they're on low income in Eastbourne. Eastbourne has actually got something like 3% unemployment at the moment. And the local MP is very proud of the fact that there's lots of people getting jobs. The trouble is they can't afford to live when they have got the job because they're so lowly paid and there isn't the money to be able to make ends meet and things are so expensive. What's the question we should be asking? Come on, employers, pay the good rate. Come on, let's create some jobs. Let's get this happening. Let's not accept the fact that people are in poverty in our town. So let's bring justice. Let's bring God's freedom to people. Let's chop these chains of religious bigotry and difficulty which hold people back and say, come on, we can know this Jesus. We can know this Jesus and we can be free. Just finish with this. If you are somebody that feels trapped by religion, trapped by your history, and I can tell you about religious history because I've been there. If you feel trapped by that, let's be people that say to God, I want rid of that. And I want to know the Jesus. I want to know who Jesus is. I want to know how to live that out. I'm going to make effort. I'm going to find out. I'm asking each day for my opinions, my values, my actions to be directed, to be guided, to be influenced, to be shaped by what Jesus would do. And we ask that, we say, Holy Spirit, would you just come and enable us today? Enable us this week. Enable us in the places we work to be Jesus. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to take little steps and we're going to probably make a trip up. But let's trip up because we're being too forgiving. Or we're wanting too much justice. Or we're wanting too much fairness. Or we're wanting too much inclusion. Let's not trip up because we think it's wrong to say sorry. We think it's wrong to see justice. We think it's wrong to be inclusive. Let's be people that live like Jesus and say, no, we're not prepared just to know about him. We're not even prepared to be around the edges of him. We're not prepared for singing songs on Sunday to be the thing that's the greatest. No, 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 no. They're all good in their own way, but no, no, no. We want to be people that know Jesus and live for him, and that whole Jesus just ooze through us, just live through us, that every part of our life is influenced by who he is. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, that we're able to read in the Bibles that we have available to us who Jesus is, who Jesus was, what he did, how he did it. And through your Holy Spirit, we're able to be transformed, like to be like Jesus, as we read, as we learn, as we ask you to transform our lives and change us and shape us into the person that Jesus wants us to be. And Father God, I pray for each person here that maybe there's somebody here, maybe there is nobody here, but maybe there might just be a couple of people here that just feel they've been trapped by the religious background that they've had, or the ideas that they thought following Jesus was about, all these loopholes they had to jump through. And actually, that isn't the case. It's knowing you and knowing who you are and living for you. Clearly, transparently, honestly, making mistakes quite often, but knowing that you are a forgiving God, a God that loves us and wants the best for us. So, Father God, I pray for each person here this morning that you will help us this week to be the people that you want us to be, that we will be able to live for Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will just ooze out of us, and that we will demonstrate in our lives the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that we will see kindness and joy and peace and all those beautiful things that are the character of Jesus, just living out through our lives and affecting this town, affecting our school, affecting our homes, affecting this town in which we live. We just say thank you to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.